were talking earlier and you talked about third grade is when you started really realizing. For everybody here, so many people that I've met today really exude a lot of passion.
Yeah.
You know, they're passionate about the space, about their brand, about their process, about their homies, about the macro, the micro. For you, how were you able to take such an extreme passion and turn it into your professional career? What were the two hurdles, the one hurdle that actually allowed you to do something I think all of us want to do?
Yeah, great question. I mean, like you mentioned, I've been extremely passionate about music, in particular hip hop and freestyling, since third grade, since I was a little kid. And it's something I was working at my whole life. I think the biggest hurdle for me as I'm practicing and developing and getting better and better and studying and doing this with my close homies, the biggest hurdle for me was my own sort of fear and insecurity. And for me, that manifested in the form of perfectionism. You know, in my mind, for so much of my life, like into my 20s, regardless of what my friends said, oh, you're so fucking dope off the top, you should go do this, you should make this what you do. In my mind, it was like, it's not good enough yet. You know, it needs more work, it needs more development. I didn't feel like I was ready to show it. And so it turned out the biggest hurdle was really just me.
You know, on that note, one of the things that I really believe is that people, and there's a lot of people in this room that are gonna resonate with this, people that say, Gary, you don't get it, I'm a perfectionist. The way my brain takes that is, no, you don't get it, you're scared. You're scared to put it out, and you're trying to make it look cute by saying you're a perfectionist. That's just makeup for insecurity, and that's what you're basically saying.
100%, man, that's what it was for me, you know, because in my mind, I'm a creator, you know, it's never gonna be good enough for me, quote unquote, right? Like, it's never gonna actually be perfect. But the biggest step forward that I ever took creatively was to just show people my shit. One question I have for you, you know, I've heard, you know, a lot of your, clips and content that you've made, which I'm a huge fan of, by the way. It's so dope for me to be up here with you. You've talked to a lot of young artists and independent artists about the power of TikTok.
Yes.
And TikTok has been huge for me, too, especially in the last year. We've been really, really diving deep on TikTok. We do daily content on there. What in your mind is like the next wave, or what's exciting to you in terms of what independent artists and creators, you know, like myself, who don't have a label and don't have a publishing deal or anything like that, what are you looking to kind of the next thing that you think is going to be the wave?
I think for me, the reason my career is what it is when it comes to this is that I'm always looking, but I never know. So many people think and position me as like seeing around corners, or I see the future. I don't see any of that. I'm just a normal dude. What I do very well, though, is when something pops off, I move quick. So 4 years ago, when I'm talking about TikTok, people's emotion about what they were building on Instagram is what stopped them from seeing TikTok. People having 14,000 followers on Instagram and working hard for it is why they didn't want to see TikTok. I have no feelings about yesterday.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I accomplished an hour ago. Everything is about tomorrow. And that's why I've been able to see the next thing, because I'm inherently curious. I really don't get high on my own supply. I don't think it matters that I've done well for the last 20 years. The next day is predicated on how I do well the next day. And I'm not scared to do the work. I wasn't devastated that I was big on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram. When I saw TikTok and had to start at zero, I'm like, let's go to fucking work. And so for me, people are way too emotional about where they're found or where they put in the work. The world and technology don't give a fuck that you put in that work there. It's just gonna keep moving, and it's your job to move with it. People used to be discovered on music on MTV in 1987. Today it's TikTok. Tomorrow it's gonna be something else. And that's just always how it's gonna be.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's based on humility. This is not some Nostradamus shit. This is just some humble, hardworking shit. And I'll do that to the grave. You know, it's funny, when Biggie's album came out, I just remember when it got to Warning.
Yeah.
And just, I grew up with hip hop, and I'm 46, so like Beastie Boys were huge, Run DMC, KRS-One, Big Daddy Kane, it was all really cool.
Yeah.
But Biggie's first album, I was a freshman in college. Wu-Tang had dominated the last year and had such a crazy sound. And there was so much talent. But I'll never forget when the song just started with like, who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. And I just remember, it was the first time I realized, and I think it's why I liked, in hindsight, I'm like, oh, this is why I like KRS-One. He paints a picture. But Biggie, when I was done with that album, I was confused. I thought I was Biggie's friend. Like, it was so clear. He was capable of telling stories in such a clear way, as if I was had a relationship with him on the first listen. And to this day, it really develops the way I think about music.
Yeah.
I've realized I don't really think about beats. I know that people love it. I understand that people shit does get me to move.
Sure.
But for me, paint me a picture.
Yes.
Take me into your world, which is why people's first albums really matter to me. Because
yes.
You have your whole life to write the first one.
Right.
That first one changed my life.
So one thing that I have seen as a challenge for my content is making shifts and transitioning. Like, if we're changing something up, if we're deciding we want to do one type of content less, and maybe move it or introduce something new. If we're changing up kind of the regularly scheduled programming a little bit, there's always rub there, right? From the fans who are like resistant to change.
Comments, or what about, are the results not as good? Less likes, comments, all of it?
Yeah, oftentimes. You know, there are certain things I do that are very popular with my community, they love them, and then there are other things that we're really passionate about that we're building out. That will sort of usher in and
this is the subject matter that I think affects so many people in here, which is people are scared to talk about the shit they actually care about. They're scared to put out the content that they actually want to put out because they're addicted to the metrics of social media.
Mm.
Because somebody knows that they normally get 500 likes or 50 likes, they're gonna keep making the same shit, even if their brain and their soul has evolved to a new place, because they don't have the humility or the self-confidence, and they're deploying insecurity, and it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
I see it with a lot of people. I see a lot of people that came up the game because they were funny, but now they wanna talk about some serious shit, and people want them to just make them laugh. I see it a lot with people that are models, attractive people that want to talk about other shit, but they know they get more likes when they show their abs or they show skin. And it's really unfortunate. I think that there's a really important conversation to be had for people to make content they want to make. I grew up in the game of content doing wine. And when I first started wanting to show people who I really was, which was, I was a wine businessman, I just happened to know about wine, people were fucking pissed. The content I put out today started with almost every comment being, stay in your lane, wine boy. Like, stop talking, why are you talking about business? Just tell me if this red wine's good. And there was enormous amounts of pushback. My biggest thing overall for people that follow me and have a sense is like, the thought of living your life based on other people's opinions is a guaranteed path to unhappiness. There is 0.0 people. Thank you. There are 0.0 people that are happy living based on other people's opinions. And we now live in a society that has so much anxiety that people spend most of their time looking to tear down other people or gotcha or Raz. And so you're in such a tough spot. So for me, the answer to your question is, you have no option other than putting out shit that you fucking give a fuck about.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going down a path that's not going to work. You're gonna burn the fuck out. One more time for this man. Yeah. Come on.
Appreciate it, y'all. Thank you.
How many hours of practice to get to that moment?
I wouldn't even venture to guess, man. People say that thing about, the knuckle-dabble thing about 10,000 hours. I probably practiced freestyling for 10,000 hours in college alone, in the 4 years I was in college. Dating back to when I was 10, I have no idea, so much fucking time. I mean, obsessive practice. It's been an obsessive love for me since I was a kid. There's nothing else I would rather do with my time. Ask my girlfriend, I'm freestyling while I'm washing the dishes.
Of course.
You know, I'm freestyling in the car, I'm freestyling while I'm walking around the house. I'm always freestyling, and I'm always trying to improve and get better. To me, there's no fucking limit.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you, man.
Of course.